Hello, best show.
Hi, is this Tom
Sharpling?
Schlickman, what is it?
Sharpling.
Sharpling, I'm sorry. I gotta go to Mike's Keister for this penmanship. Sorry about that. Hey, Tom, this is Todd McDaniels over at McMuffler Mania. Just wanted to say it was great to see you over here on Muffler Row last week, and I'm just calling to see if you're fully stoked on that new muffler we slapped on your sled.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is not exactly a call I expected at this time of night. I got to be honest. But, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm satisfied.
That's great. So I just need to do a little follow-up here. Need you to answer just a couple questions, all right?
Sure.
On a scale of 1 to 14, with 1 signifying unmitigated epic fail and 14 signifying I was today years old when I first felt as good about muffler repair, how would you rate the quality of the work you received at McMuffler Mania?
Yeah, the work was good. I'd give it a 14, I guess. You know, my car sounds just like it did, you know, when I got it way back in 2009 from Gene Simmons Toyota.
That's great. That's wonderful. That's what we want to hear. All right. Second one, on a scale of 1 to 14, with 1 signifying unmitigated epic fail and 14 signifying I was today years old when I first felt this good about muffler repair, how would you rate the overall cleanliness of our McMuffler Mania?
Yeah, it was very clean. It was very clean. You had plenty of hand sanitizer. There were breath mints all over the place. I think I even saw like a kitty litter box that was there, I guess, in case somebody brought their cat in.
Yeah, you know, it does happen. It's you know, we like to make everyone feel welcome, and that's great that you had a good experience there. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 14, with 1 signifying unmitigated epic fail, and 14 signifying I was today years old when I first felt this good about muffler repair, how would you rate the magazine selection in the McMuffler Mania waiting room?
Hey, what was your name again?
Todd.
Todd. Todd, I just got to say, this is, you know, when I was there, you guys asked me, it was like an insane list of things. It was so long, and it was like probably like 82 questions or whatever.
Yeah,
before you'd even give me my car keys. And well, can I also just ask, why is it 1 through 14, not like 1 through 5 like every other survey I've ever taken?
I don't know. I guess that's just how they did it at the home office. I mean, it kind of, you know, opens up the whole answer process. You know, 1 to 5 is very, that's very tight. It's a tight little area of numerals. But 1 to 14, that's a wide berth, if you ask me.
1 through 14 is a wide berth.
I think so. Yeah.
Sure. Oh, no, the width of the berth is not the concern. I don't think 1 through 5 is so wildly limited that you're just like you can't figure out a way to express exactly how you felt about the cleanliness of the waiting room. I feel like I could sum that up either in a 1 through 5. I don't need 14.
I don't know. That's a tight berth, if you ask me. I think we need the 1 to 14, and I'm going to recommend we stick with it. But, you know, your response to the questionnaire is exactly why I'm calling. You only gave me a 5 out of 14 in terms of your overall McMuffler Mania experience, and I'm racking my head to figure out why, and I think maybe it's because I wasn't wearing my kilt that day. You know, they only give us one each, and mine was flagrantly stained with oil that day, hence the plaid jorts I was wearing.
Mm-hmm. the kilt is not the reason why I didn't do 14. I only had 5 out of 14 for when it came to the overall experience. And I would say it's because I felt like I was, it was just a general uncomfortable feel in the air being there, like almost like I was being watched the entire time.
Oh, you were.
Wait, hold on. What?
Yeah. Well, you know, like any business, we have a whole slew of security cameras positioned all around the premises. But I'll tell you, unlike those other lame businesses, every year we put together an elaborate video comp of our dumbest customers. It's really funny stuff. And you've pretty much been the star of the last 7.
What?
Yeah.
The last 7 what?
Years.
So you're putting together video comps and what you said was the dumbest customers?
Yeah.
And these are like private comps and you're not telling the people on them?
Oh, don't worry. They're not private. Anyone can watch them over at the McMuffler Mania YouTube page. But don't worry. We don't use your name. We just credit you as the creature in the black Fred Perry shirt.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I haven't worn a whole lot of black Fred Perry shirts in a bit, but I have in plenty, so sure, okay.
But we can fix that in post on this new one.
You can fix it in post.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to, like, comp in a new shirt on me?
Absolutely, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, this is horrifying, Todd.
Well, it's interesting. We actually get a ton of fan mail for you at the shop. Kids just write the creature on the envelope, and somehow they find their way here. You know, it's a real tribute to the diligence of the U.S. Postal Service, if you ask me.
Uh-huh. Okay, great. The diligence. Yeah, let's... Hold on. I'm going to this YouTube channel.
Okay. Oh, you don't need to do that.
No. I need to...
Seriously, you really don't.
No. Here, let me... I just want to see. You said I'm on this thing, and... Oh, my God.
Well, now I'm worried you're not going to take it in the spirit of it.
No. I'm taking this. It's footage of me sitting in the waiting room. It's cut together. Oh, it's me playing air guitar.
You really go for it too. It's pretty cool.
Well, Highway to Hell came on, and I always have to kind of air it up when that's on.
Wait, it did? That's not good. This is a Christian enterprise. Oh no.
Well, it was on the whatever mix or whatever was on. Now I'm doing some pop and lock, and that was okay.
Because I also do that. You're not as good at.
Well, Highway to Hell, I always try to go from air guitar to some break dancing.
Sure, I can see that.
Yeah, I just it's one of those songs. Like it just has like a good like as you're. I'm thinking of it. I'm almost started to do it in the thing. But look, this is horrifying. And now here's me. I'm holding up the coffee pot and I'm pretending. Oh, this is so embarrassing.
This is our favorite.
It's me. I would do a thing when I was I always wanted to be. I worked at a diner when I was a teenager, but they wouldn't let me like pour coffee for customers behind the counter. And I always kind of wanted to. And then it's me pretending I'm a waiter at a diner behind the counter, and I'm pouring like invisible cups of coffee. That sucks. And now I'm juggling. Okay. Oh my God. I can't even forget. I'm not doing is this the Macarena I'm doing? How old is this thing?
It's maybe it's like 5 years, but like the Macarena was way over 5 years ago. So we couldn't believe it when we saw it. Mm-hmm. We just loved it. We thought, God, what is with this cat? He's genius.
Yeah. And now I'm throwing up an invisible pizza in the air as if I'm making pizza. It's another thing. I worked at a pizzeria when I was a teenager and I was wished I got a chance to make the pizza and they wouldn't let me. So I kind of sometimes pretend I'm making pizza.
Right. You make it look really easy. They say it's very hard, but you you really sling that thing. And it as far as I can tell, it never rips.
And now the one I'm watching, it went up and now I'm waiting for it to come down. I'm like looking, I'm pointing my, like, craning my head up, waiting for the pizza to come down from the sky. This is embarrassing.
It's almost like a lost scene from Hardly Working or something.
Yeah, that for the Hardly Working's this late period Jerry Lewis movie where he's probably in his mid-50s and is it's ironic that it's Hardly Working. He's close to like retirement age, and
well, he can't get a job. You know what the best scene of that movie is, and it's the best scene of his career, right?
What is it?
It's the donut scene, remember? All right.
What is the donut? Just refresh my memory.
It's the greatest thing that's ever been filmed, ever. All right, so he goes into the post office to get a job, and he like you said, he's probably in his 50s. He looks like he might be 70 at this point with jet black hair. It's great.
Jet black hair. Like,
yeah, I love it.
So he's in the post office?
He's in the post office. He's sitting in front of the postmaster's desk, and on the desk is this is one of the first incidents of product placement that I can recall. Blatant Dunkin' Donuts, dozen donuts on the desk, and he hasn't eaten that morning. So he's really hungry. Barnaby, that's his character. And
Barnaby.
Oh, yeah. There's a group from New Jersey that actually wrote a song about it. It's called Barnaby Hardly Working, and they're called Skid Row.
I didn't know Skid Row did that. I've heard that song. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, that's cool.
What, have you heard someone cover it?
I thought that was a Yola Tango song.
Who's he?
He's a Hoboken rocker.
Okay, like Frank Sinatra. Cool.
Kinda, yeah.
So Barnaby's at his chair, and he's waiting for the interview to start so he can get the job. And the main post guy is he's reading his paper, and all the while Barnaby is just eyeing these donuts, and he's salivating, and he starts running his finger around the corner of the box, and all the while the guy is peeping behind his newspaper, and he sees him doing it, and he starts to like make little inroads to touching the donuts because he's so starving. And then it goes on for a while, and then finally the guy says, "Do you want a donut?" And Barnaby goes, "Where are they?" I think it's the greatest thing that's ever happened. It's maybe on Earth.
So that's like beyond movies.
Yeah, like happenstance.
Just the greatest, one of the greatest events of Earth.
I think this
late period Jerry Lewis movie.
Just this scene. I mean, I think it goes invention of the wheel, anesthesia, probably something else, and then this scene.
Sure. Well, that obviously tracks.
Well, look, you know. I think you need to relax and just chill out about these videos because people love them. They really do. It's really cool stuff.
I don't know. This is not. This is a bummer. I did not expect any of this. I thought I was getting some muffler work done, and now apparently I'm a YouTube. Boob.
You say YouTube boob, I say influencer. And speaking of influencing, I'm going to cut to the chase here. I really would appreciate it if you would resubmit a new, more positive review where you give me straight 14s. And I don't know, maybe even say I saved you from choking on a Danish you jammed in your face or something.
Absolutely not.
Oh, please, come on. I'm so close.
No.
please, if I just get one more perfect report, I ascend to Grand Supreme Level 8 Keyholder status for the entire McMuffler Mania chain.
What?
Yeah, it's a very prestigious title, and, you know, you get all the cool things with it. I get a neat headband. They give you a gold-plated oil can, and it's a check for at least $65. It's so cool. But the biggest perk of attaining that level 8 status,
mm-hmm.
I get to pick the music for the next McMuffler Mania corporate retreat. It's super cool.
The next McMuffler Mania corporate retreat, you pick the music?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Who am I going to pick? Well, it's
no. What does that even mean to pick the music? What is music played at the thing?
I get to pick the band to play there.
Oh, the band to play there. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I know who I'm getting. It's pretty obvious. I mean, there's only really one choice for a party vibe, and that of course is Gil Metzinger's Sha Na Na featuring Mel Yoder. They're really good. I mean, these guys are so much better than the original Sha Na Na. You think the other guys nailed the dip-dip-dip-dip-dips? These guys cremate the dip-dip-dip-dip-dips. It's so cool. They really are the best. They don't wear any of the hokey outfits either, so it's, you know, it's guys in their late 60s wearing khakis. It's pretty cool.
Gil, what is his name?
Gil Metzinger. He was the fifth bass player. I mean, he wasn't even close to Woodstock, but he, you know, he was. I think he joined in. Gosh, I want to say 89.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a guy who joined Sha Na Na in 89. His name is at the front of the line now.
Yeah, but don't forget Mel Yoder. He's great.
Okay, well, that sounds like, so people just making sure with Sha Na Na that it's Gil Metzinger's version with Mel Yoder.
Yeah, because I think there's seven others out there floating around.
Sure, a whole lot of, yeah. It's probably a good thing cell phones didn't exist in the 60s, because you could picture people on like the New York Thruway stuck in traffic to get to Woodstock, right. And then they would hear... Yeah. They talk to their friend, like, what's going on there? It's like, oh, there's some guys up here doing at the hop. And they would just turn around. Like, Woodstock would have been half empty.
That's not even my parents' music. I don't know what that is. Dip, 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 dip. I'll tell you, man, those dip, dip, dips cut the way these guys do it. It's going to blow people's heads and faces apart. It's going to be great. Hey, speaking of cool doo-wop.
Yeah.
Did not see you in New Bridge Town Square the other night when they showed that new Frank Zappa flick that either Bill or Ted directed on the Jumbotron. The whole town was there. It was great.
Yeah. Everybody came out for the big thing. I was not there. I watched it on at home.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, like I said, people loved it. And this was like people from 9 to 90. And, you know, people were going nuts. And from what I hear, they're going to put a Frank Zappa statue in that square next year.
And it's to honor why? Because they showed the movie?
I guess so, and people just had such a strong, positive reaction to everything about him. You know, they just loved his attitude. He's very, very, very cordial and respectful of everybody. And from what I hear, this statue is going to be Frank Zappa conducting an orchestra with his baton in one hand while he taps his cigarette ash on Mozart's head with the other hand.
That,
and guess what the legend says at the bottom?
What does it say?
You're welcome.
Look, I did not attend this public screening of the thing. Even I was not up, even with masks on, I'm just not up for a public thing like that. It seems very shaky and kind of against the spirit of where we're at right now in terms of the pandemic. So,
it wasn't a Halloween thing. It was Halloween was like 2 months ago. What are you talking about?
No, like masks. The for COVID to kind of.
I thought that was over.
No, that's not over.
Oh no! Well, we couldn't have worn masks anyway, because how could we eat our popcorn and drink our soda pop?
Yeah, I guess that's the real conundrum, huh? I guess that you.
Yep.
I Frank Zappa. The only idea I have for this, and God help me for pitching an idea to help put a Frank Zappa statue downtown. What if no matter what side of the statue you're on, you're looking at his back? Like, it always manages to, like, frustrate you somehow.
Oh, I like it. But can you still tell that he's... He thinks he's better than you, even if you can only see his back.
That's true. Maybe once in a while. Maybe you get, most people get the back, but some people just see the condescending smirk that he has on his face.
Got it. Okay. I think that's a great idea, because it's important that we see the smirk.
Yeah, as he explains... How he could be writing hits, but he just chooses not to.
Absolutely. No, I agree. Hey, speaking of hits, everyone's got their favorite Zappa song. I'm going to guess what yours is, all right? Okay, here we go.
Okay.
It's gotta be Dental Hygiene Dilemma.
It's up there. It's not the biggie, right, though.
Okay. Is it Electric Aunt Jemima?
That's close. Top five. Not number one, though.
Harder than Your Husband?
That's it, yeah.
I knew it. I was going to say Hot and Putrid, but I knew it. Wow. See, I got a little bit of, what's it called? What's that called? Not the vapors. What do they call it? Intuition.
Sure, you've got a little bit of intuition with Zappas. Like, you can look at someone and figure what their favorite Zappa song is.
Absolutely. Like, I can just meet a whoever on the street and I'll go, you know what? You look like, let me see here.
And then you're like looking them up and down, I'm assuming?
Yeah, just getting a read, and I go, you are a hot poop man. And I'm usually right. Yeah.
Sure.
Hey, look, I got to run soon. We're putting the final touches on this year's comp. And I got to say, you really outdid yourself on this. I can't believe you acted out.
I can't believe
you did both John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John's parts while you sang an a cappella version of You're the One That I Want.
Yeah.
It was pretty impressive, and I got to say, it was the first time we've been both mortified for you and in awe of you. So that's a pretty good accomplishment.
Thank you, I guess. I guess I can thank you?
Absolutely. And look, I really, really need you to resubmit that questionnaire with all 14. Capiche?
No, Todd, I'm not doing it.
Well, look, remember that McMuffler Mania app you installed here last week?
Oh, yeah, I do remember the app. You mean the app that you forced me to install on my phone that's been burning through my battery on my phone? My phone dies, and it's using seven times the power now. The battery life is awful.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say it made your phone explode when you stood near not even a microwave, but a traditional oven.
Wait, that's happening to people?
I don't know, just to a few people.
What do you mean by a few people? What's your definition of a few people? What is that, Todd?
736 as of 10 minutes ago. Why?
That their phones... Why? Because their phones are exploding. That's terrible.
Stay out of the kitchen. You don't need to be on your phone in the kitchen. You should be cooking or eating.
Yeah, you're right. It's their fault. It's their fault for using their phone in their homes.
Well, look, like that woman says to either Henry Winkler or Michael Keaton in Night Shift. Oh, you pay. It's like, yeah, you pay for everything. You know, there's a good and a bad side to everything. You could walk outside and get awarded the publisher's clearinghouse check, or you could get hit by a kid on a mini bike. Right in the car.
Or you could not make people install an app that could potentially make their phone explode.
Look, if you don't change my rating to a 14, that app is going to upload your most embarrassing photo in your phone, not only to your Instagram, but to the Instagrams of all the people you follow. And I bet you follow a lot of FPs, a lot of celebs, right?
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah. Well, look, I've seen the picture in question, and let's just say I'd be mortified if I was you.
A photo that's on my phone?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I don't know what...
I think you know what it is.
I don't know.
No, well, you'll find out. You'll find out. Hey, speaking of stuff... When we were rifling through your car for change, we found a bunch of issues of Progressive Rock Digest magazine, and I just want to say that we think it's super cool that you write for it under the pen name Wake Rickman. It's very clever.
You figured that out?
Yes. I know rock music.
Yeah. I mean, I do it because I don't want to take attention away from the... I don't want to take attention. I want the articles to stand on their own.
I think that's very smart. Although I will say I think we probably differ on our appreciation of Prague. My landlord says that Prague is for eggheads who honestly don't know how to bring the thunder in the boudoir.
Uh huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. But I think the music is for everybody, and I don't think it's some... You can't make a judgment like that.
I can see that. But, hey, you know, speaking of music, I have something for tonight's topic.
Oh, the Identify It thing we're doing?
Yeah. It's the song I've heard so many times. I don't know what it is, and it's okay. It's heavy, and it sounds like there's some like weird processing happening, and the singer, he sounds like a big robot, and he goes, "I am Iron Face."
And there's it's like hard rock.
Yes.
And he says, "I am Iron Face."
Yes. Yeah.
Would you know the riff by any chance? I think I might have a feeling of what this might be.
Well, honestly, it's really scary, so I always turn it off at that point. So I assume it's like hard rock.
Yeah, it is. It is. But you don't know the riff. You just shut it off as soon as he says, "I am Iron Face."
I do. Yeah, because it sounds like he's throwing up at first. It goes like, and then "I am Iron Face."
Yeah, it's Iron Man is the name of the song by Black Sabbath. Ooh. It's a huge hit.
I don't think so. It's not Black Sabbath.
Sure
is.
Is
it?
Yes.
Oh, wait, I'm thinking of Black Francis, who I guess is more of a person than a band, right?
Yes, he's the singer for the Pixies.
Okay. Well, irregardless, my landlord says it's I Am Iron Face, and he's been to a ton of big concerts, sometimes even on the floor, so he'd know.
Okay, all right. Well, it's Iron Man.
Well, but I guess we could argue about that all night, but, you know, I know they played, Black Sabbath played Madison Square Garden a lot, and you know, my landlord says that you're not a real rock star until you play the Garden, so they're rock stars.
Okay. Yeah. That's what your landlord says that.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you what the deal with your landlord is? You seem to keep mentioning your landlord.
I don't like that tone when you're talking about my landlord, because you should respect my landlord, because he was in a pretty big rock band back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, so tell me more about your landlord.
Well, he was in a very big rock band.
Can you tell us what band your landlord was in?
They were and are called Aerosmith.
Your landlord was in Aerosmith.
Yes, yeah. And okay. Truthfully, he wasn't one of the originals. His name is Rick Dufay, and he was in the band for about 4 years, but it was that period where Joe Perry and Brad Whitford were out of the band.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's he has very fond memories of being in the band, even though it was Aerosmith's lowest point in terms of, you know, creativity and commercial success. But he's got great stories, and he said the guys really loved each other. But you're like this. There was this one weird thing about their bassist, Tom Hamilton, that really kind of bugged everybody else in the band.
Uh-huh. What is it?
The guys really respected Tom because he's the guy that came up with that bass intro for, what's it, Sweet Emotion? You know, dum dum zig da dum dum, whatever that is.
Sure.
You know, so that's a big part of that song. So whenever he'd come in and say, I have a new idea for a song, the guys would get excited. So, but from what my landlord says, from Draw the Line on, Tom would always bring in the same song for each record, but pretend he hadn't brought it in before. And he'd start singing the song, and then they'd realize it was the same song they rejected for the last album and the album before that, etc.
So he kept bringing in the same thing over and over and would act like he had a new idea.
Exactly, exactly. And the song is pretty weird.
Okay. What is it?
Well, my landlord only sang it to me.
I gotta say, I hate how you say my landlord. It really...
Well, he's a big part of my life, Tom.
Okay. Well, go on with your story about your landlord.
Well, now you're mad and I don't like it.
No, I'm not mad. I just... It's just odd, to be honest.
Okay.
It's odd.
Speaking of odd, the song in question is called The Popcorn Bowls.
The Popcorn Bowls.
Yes. And from the way my landlord described it.
Oh, it cuts through me, Todd.
I don't get it. I don't know. But from the way my landlord described it.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll stop. It's like you're talking about like some god. Never mind.
Well,
tell me the way your landlord talks about it. No. The way your landlord talks about it.
He says it's kind of like a forerunner of that song Christmas Shoes. Do you remember that song?
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's kind of in that bland, ultra schmaltzy kind of vaguely, like almost country kind of song, but it's not country. It's just like, it's almost music for people who don't think they like music or don't know that they like music.
Sure.
All right. So, as I said before, he only sang it to me once, but it's been burned into my mind. All right, and I'll sing it for you if you'd like. Just the first little verse.
Okay, please do.
It was like, Grandma loved her grandkids, but she was from a different world, a world of Model T's and doilies, and the comedy of Milton Berle. When us kids would go to her house, she always wore a nice blouse. She didn't get our jokes, but she was a wonderful host, always quick with a warm popcorn bowl. I still miss those popcorn bowls. Popcorn bowls, popcorn bowls. Dear Grandma's ever-loving popcorn bowls. And the rest of the song is 6 more minutes.
About his grandmother and the popcorn bowls.
Yes, and there's this whole scene where the grandmother gets kidnapped. Nothing weird happens, but it involves like an ocean journey. It's really crazy stuff, Tom. And then at the end of every verse, he comes back to his fondness for the popcorn bowls.
And now this was supposed to be potentially a song for Aerosmith.
Could it potentially been on Night in the Ruts?
So it would have just been like, you'd be listening to an Aerosmith record and it would be like Back in the Saddle Again. And then yep. Popcorn Bowls would be the next song.
Popcorn Bowls. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess he wanted to sing it too. So it would be crazy. But my landlord still keeps in touch with Joey Kramer, the drummer. And every time Aerosmith starts a new record in the studio, Joey texts my landlord with day 1... the countdown begins, ... And then without fail, maybe in the next 2 weeks or so, the text comes in. Houston, the popcorn bowls have landed.
Oh, so it's just an endless joke.
He's still doing it, apparently.
Still?
He's still doing it.
They're basically on their last legs as a band now.
Yeah.
And he's still pushing popcorn bowls.
As far as I know, he wanted to bluesify it for Honkin' on Bobo.
A bluesy version of a song about grandma's popcorn bowls.
Yeah.
Well, this
popcorn
is
bowls. Harmonica. Yeah.
Sure.
Popcorn bowls.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's a look behind the curtain, huh?
Very much. Very much. Oh no. Oh my God.
What? What's going on?
Oh my God.
What's wrong?
Oh my God. My coworker Morty, he just sent me this link to a YouTube page. It's called The Further Adventures. I can't say the word. My Dip S Hit Tenant. The Further Adventures of My Dip S Hit Tenant.
Sure, sure. Gotcha.
Oh, my okay. God.
What is it?
It's just video after video of me doing things that seemed normal at the time, but now I can see seem very, very weird. Tom! My landlord has been filming me this whole time.
Well, I could just pulled
my
it up.
God. No.
Oh, my God. No. This is you?
No. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Please, please don't describe in great detail to your listening audience what you see in these videos. Please.
Oh, no. No, but it's a tribute to you or whatever you said. It's like, yeah. Okay, here you are. It looks like you're
no.
Like you got a little blanket fort going in and you're trapped in it. It looks like you don't know how to get out of the blanket fort.
I couldn't get out.
It looks like you're scared.
I am.
Now you got a couch cushion on the ground and you're kind of bounding around the living room like you're on a little dirt bike.
Oh, no.
Is that what that is?
Vrooms? Can you hear my vrooms?
I can see your. I can see you making the vrooms. I can't hear it.
Oh no.
Okay, now
my
you're.
My rep is trashed.
Now you're in workout clothes, and you're. All right, you're getting down to do a push-up. Looks like and you just you didn't
stop
even
laughing.
Finish one. You're on the ground. Oh my God, you're not moving. It looks like you're actually like unconscious.
I was unconscious for at least 6 minutes.
All right, now looks like you're hosting. Are you pretending to host some kind of talk show or something?
No, I'm a couch guest.
You're a couch. Okay, that's what it is. It looks like clearly. And okay, this is creepy. It's like this is like some King of Comedy stuff here. It's like you're talking to Johnny or whoever, like whatever the host is of the talk show. And you're just mugging and you're doing fake laughing and you're as if you're having a conversation with nobody.
Oh no. Can you tell that I'm doing like a pretend snake, like that Jack, what's his name, is there, and I put a snake around me.
Yeah, no, it looks like the animal segment is on and you just jumped up on the chair.
Yes, I thought it was funny.
As if you were scared of an animal that was brought out on the talk show.
Oh man. All right, stop, please.
No, you look. Now you're. Wait, what is this? I just saw this. I don't even know what I need. It's just saw. I need to watch this one. You slipped on a banana peel, and you landed in a pie, like a banana whipped cream, banana cream pie. I don't know. It looks like.
What are the odds? I made a banana cream pie and I dropped a peel on the floor and then I slipped on it and I went face first into the pie.
Yeah, this is. Oh, look, you're doing the same thing I was doing, pouring the coffee.
It looks
That's literally what I did. And
it
you humiliated
funny
me.
You did it.
It looked funny when I did it, but I guess it's cool when you did it.
I thought it was, but now I'm feeling, oh, man.
Yeah, and now you're doing the same thing with the pizza. Oh, you threw a pizza, but now you just start shooting at it. You pulled, like, an invisible gun out as if it's, like, a skeet shooting.
Yeah, it's like a variation on what you did. Brought my own thing to the table.
Yeah, it doesn't feel so good, huh?
No, it doesn't. And you know what, Tom?
What's that, Todd?
It really feels like the tables have turned and, well.
The cables have turned? Is that what you said?
Yes. Have you ever heard that expression, the cables have turned?
No, it's tables.
That doesn't make sense.
Okay, never mind.
Okay. It's like the exploiter has become the exploited.
Uh-huh.
It really feels like what went around came around. And just a very apropos lesson to be learned on this very special day.
A little lesson you learned? Todd, I think he played a little bit of Instant Karma. I think that was. He's gone. Okay. Wow. Yeah, the exploiter became the exploited. It happens.